Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters. Ben Rogers in studio with another Ben Danner, the Overton County Executive. Good morning and welcome, Ben.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing better to see you. You know, the clouds parted when I walked in. The sun shined right down on you like usual. So thank you for having me on.
I'm sorry, appreciate folks. You. He's, you know, Ben Danner. I've had him on several times. It's the Ben Squared show today. So a lot of fun for you today and a lot of good information coming out of Overton County. Get some updates on the budget process like we try to do every spring, late spring, early summer with these counties around Upper Cumberland. I wanted to get Ben in here because he's been county mayor. This is his eighth year as county commissioner before that, so he's no stranger to county government. But how is the budget process going in Overton County?
It's going real good. Of course, we got Connie York, that's our budget director, and been there about 10 years now. And, you know, the staff's really good to work with, and they know what's happening. This will be the 20th budget I've dealt with as a commissioner and county executive. And we started last night. We usually do three nights of budget hearings, and I go over line item by line item the whole budget for the commission. And so far, everything's went real good. We made it through the general fund last night. You know, we got a lot of things in the budget we're trying to change. We're looking at the pay scale and different things like that. So another really good budget, and the bottom line of the budget looks real good, too. So
that's good. I mean, over the last few years, probably I guess since 2018, fund balances have looked pretty good. I mean, how's fund balances? And the reason I bring it up, it's one of the big things we're talking about in Putnam County right now. How have fund balances grown since the last 3 or 4 years?
Well, the fund balance, you know, from 14 on, I mean, when I first got elected in 2002, I mean, we didn't hardly have any fund balance. And now we're at over $6 million of fund balance. So, you know, I mean, that's a really healthy fund balance. We need around $3 million to make 3 months worth of expenses. So the fund balance every year has grew. And last year, now the 2020-21 budget, we actually grew the fund balance over $1 million that year. And we would have grown the budget, the fund balance again this year, but the gas prices, when that went up, you know, we may have dipped into the fund balance $400,000 or $500,000 maybe. But with the amount that gas went up, I mean, that's pretty good because, you know, all the departments are staying under budget. Nobody's overspending. They just spend what they have to. And, you know, most of the offices in the courthouse, I mean, that's just basically pay and data processing fees, so there's really nothing to cut. But the Sheriff's Department and Ambulance Service are big parts of the budget. And, you know, we've added employees at the Ambulance Service. We've added employees at the Sheriff's Department and still been able to absorb that in the budget. So,
yeah, and of course, both of those in a lot of counties in Tennessee, especially Upper Cumberland, folks are having a hard time hiring people in emergency services and public safety because of maybe starting pay or maybe because of the work. I mean, we're having a hard time retaining people and recruiting people, and that's all over. I mean, y'all been able to hire some people, but do you have any vacant positions that you know of at either one of those?
We don't have at the Sheriff's Department right now, and that's one of the first times that we've not had. You know, a few years ago, we only had a SRO officer at two of the four schools that are outside the city limits. And that's one thing I brought to the county commission, that we need a SRO officer in every school. And I know school children safety is a big issue right now. And, you know, I feel strong that we need to have a, you know, police presence at every school all day. And now we do. We've got a SRO officer at every school. And when the school's out in the summer, that's two extra deputies we have. So, you know, we've added that, and ambulance service, we've added shifts on too because of COVID. Of course, that's, you know, died down, but and that's picked up just a little bit. But we're doing a lot of runs. I mean, a lot of the hospitals are overrun, and we're having to go farther out. So, you know, right now, full staff, but, I mean, talking about pay, I mean, it's really hard, you know, when they can go to work at some of these new restaurants and make more than they will if they get out of school to become a paramedic.
Yeah.
So we're lucky we've got some of the experienced people we've had that's been there several years that are not working for the pay, because if they were, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing.
Well, so do y'all have a pay scale?
Yeah, and we've worked on it. When I first went into office, we was paying minimum wage starting pay. I mean, $7 and something was ridiculous on the pay, and we got it up to $11 up to last year. And this year, I've got it in the budget, $2 an hour across the board pay scale increase, so it'll be a minimum 13. And then some offices, depend on, you know, which job it is, it will be different from that. But I think that will help us retain a lot of the deputies we got, and that'll for sure help us get guards in the jail, because the jail staff, it's been hard turnover because, you know, they can go to work at McDonald's and make a lot more than they can you know, being a guard at the jail, and I mean, they're going to go to McDonald's instead of doing that. So, but that really helps. I mean, that don't get us exactly where we need to be on pay, but that's took a big step forward. And also the insurance, you know, a few years ago, a single employee had to pay almost $400 a month for insurance. And we had about 40 or 50 people's all we had on insurance because nobody could afford it. And now we pay every bit of a single employee's insurance, and we've got over 200 people on insurance, which is really good because, you know, those employees really needed to be on insurance for health reasons, but they couldn't afford to, and now they can. And that helps keep them too. I mean, some counties around us may pay a dollar or two more now since we're doing the pay scale increase, but most every county don't do the insurance like we do, so the benefits, you know, may outweigh going to work somewhere else.
Yeah. Does the county have enough growth and revenue in the general fund to make up the difference in that $2 an hour in the pay scale? I mean, or how are you funding that?
Well, we're funding that. We're using the ARP funds, American Rescue Plan funds. We're going to put those in the general fund and help use that. And we've got some other projects we're going to do with that too. But the penny growth went up quite a bit, so of the tax penny. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, right now the budget's looking really good. So this was, you know, I brought it up to the commission. I think this is the time to try to work on the pay scale because, I mean, everybody out there in the world that's hiring knows you can't find people and you can't keep them. And, I mean, when the starting pay is as low as what we had, I mean, it's just really hard to get anybody to work, especially qualified people to some of these jobs. So, you know, I fear in the years to come, I mean, the paramedics we have and EMTs, you know, the people we got's been there several years, most of them. But when kids get out of school and look at a career about going something to be like a paramedic, if they have to go through school and spend quite a bit to be able to get, you know, the license to do that, why would they want to do that if they can go to Sam's Club or McDonald's or something to make the same kind of pay? So, you know, we've took a drastic step this year. $2 an hour is a big chunk to try to raise the pay for the employees. But, you know, I mean, they're worth a lot more than that. And I wish we could do more, but that is a big step.
Well, one thing we saw, and I didn't have a plan to talk about the economy, but I feel like it's going to come up because of what we're talking about budgets. But, you know, back in 07, 08, of course, you were a commissioner, so you were affected by that in the county and everything kind of fell off. Gas prices went up and people started staying at home and they did their shopping at home. It's like recruiting and retaining employees. If you can keep your employees in the county, they're probably going to stay at home a little bit more and continue to do their shopping. Sales tax has been a big, big revenue stream for you all, especially since the legislature changed the law about point of sales tax going to where that, you know, if it's out in the county, somebody that lives in the county and they bought something over the internet, it's going to the county. If it's in the city, it'll go to the city. So, you know, keeping people at home and keeping jobs there at home, that's benefits you in more than one way.
Oh, yeah, the sales tax has been tremendous. I mean, that's the main reason we've not had to raise. This will be 7 years in a row we've not raised property taxes. And I've looked back as far as I can find, we've never went 7 years in a row without raising taxes. And actually, the tax rate's lower right now than it was 8 years ago. So the sales tax, we done a sales tax audit about 7 years ago, and there was a lot of the accounts that were wrong. The state of Tennessee had them wrong, and they fixed them, and that year we done $700,000 in sales tax, the county's part. This last year we hit $2.4 million. I mean, we're over three times what we were, and that's helping take that off the taxpayer burden. So we don't have to put it on property tax, but the sales tax has been tremendous. I mean, the internet sales tax and COVID, you know, everybody worried about COVID when that started about tax, but that's actually, far as sales tax, helped the counties because more people were ordering from Amazon and Walmart.com and eBay. Of course, like you said, wherever it goes to, if they live out in a county and it's shipped there, that's where the sales tax goes to. And also when they change the law, you know, the water utilities, wherever they're at, that tax goes there too. And we've had a lot of growth with businesses. I mean, we've had a lot of businesses open up, had a lot of dollar markets open. We got some more coming. We got two or three more getting ready to open in the county or getting ready to start building. So, you know, everybody would like to have a Walmart in Livingston. We're probably not going to have a Walmart. Our Walmart's in Allgood, I guess. Yeah. They just put it in the wrong county, yeah. I guess. But because you go down there on Friday night and everybody in there is from Livingston, you know, it's just like a family reunion. And Christmas time, everybody's there from Livingston for sure. But a joke with Mayor Porter down here in Putnam County about that's our Walmart. But but yeah, that's helped. I mean, the sales tax. I mean, that's the fairest tax because everybody's paying that. People coming through our county are paying that, and that's just been tremendous to keep that off the property tax owners.
Well, let's talk about the sales tax audit. I think we may have talked a little bit about it before, but it's been a while. When you came in, that's something you did. You didn't have to do that. Like, that's not, it's not required by law for you to get a sales tax audit done in your county or city. There's nothing in statute requiring you to do that, but you decided, you felt like, and you and I talked about it because I put you on the two or three people that could do it. You felt like there's money you're missing out on. And so that sparked the initiative to do a sales tax audit.
Yeah. If we'd have never done the sales tax audit, I mean, we would have never been in the place we are now with sales tax. And, you know, that's one thing from going to conferences. I went to a conference in Gatlinburg and met Larry Waters. It's a Sevier County mayor, and he's the longest serving county mayor in the state of Tennessee. Been there, I think, 260 years.
He'll be there 264 more because he's yeah, unopposed.
He's unopposed now. I seen him a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, he told me about that, and I checked into it, and I talked to you about it. And, you know, I mean, you pay them half of the sales tax that, you know, they collect up front, but then after that, when the auditors do that, but it's well worth it. You know, it really tremendously helped us. I mean, we had never had $100,000 a month ever, the county had, and then all of a sudden we're having $200,000 and $300,000 a month of sales tax collections now. So it's just been tremendous. And that, you know, that's where, you know, learning from other mayors and going to conferences that CTAS puts on and other organizations and, you know, and just talking to them and see exactly what they're doing in their counties and what works and what don't. And, that's paid off millions of dollars for Overton County because yeah, I went to that conference that CTAS put on. So yeah, I appreciate y'all doing that.
Well, we try to do things like that. We try to be valuable and offer resources, not only direct technical assistance like I do every day, but to get you to be around other people that are like you doing the same thing and talk to those. So good information so far. We're going to talk more a little bit about the budget when we come back after this break here with on Local Matters with Overton County Executive Ben Danner. This is Ben Rogers. Be back in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. This is the Ben and Ben Show. I'm Ben Rogers. I'm with Overton County Mayor Ben Danner. Hadn't had him on in a while, but wanted him in to talk about mainly what the budget process is looking like in Overton County and anything new there, and just talk about kind of some history of the finances there. Overton County's fund balances are growing in the general fund over the last few years. That's enabled y'all to do some things. No tax increase, and you said the tax rate was lower because y'all went through reappraisal. And when you went through reappraisal, you kept the certified rate, no tax increase. And so the rate's lower now than when you started.
It was $1.99 per hundred when I started. It's $1.97 right now. So,
okay.
Yeah, we're lower. So really great that we was able to do what we've been able to do and, you know, work on a lot of buildings and build several buildings and improve buildings we've got and, you know, pay scale increases and not – actually lower taxes instead of raising them. So
I was going to ask you, you mentioned earlier about SROs and you have SROs in every school now. Does the schools contribute to that funding of SROs? Because it's not required. Some county school systems do, some don't. What are they doing over
the
county?
School does contribute some. They contribute to the city because the city has one at the high school and A.H. Roberts in the middle school. And then the county has at four schools. They contribute about 40,000 of it. And it's, you know, it's around 170,000.
Okay.
Is what the county puts in. But, you know, the county commission had questions about it when we first brought up about having SRO officers in every school. But, you know, that's one of the things that no matter if they give us money or not, we need to support it and, you know, pay for putting SRO in that school because, I mean, these kids are important and I wish we could have two in every school or more if we could, but it, you know, I mean, everything, I mean, we've really been lucky in this area in the Upper Cumberland not to have some of the things going on like right. they've got out in Texas and different places, but, you know, we don't need to take it for granted either. That stuff could never happen. We need to, you know, do what we can to fund whatever with the SRO officers to keep them in our schools.
Yeah, and so funding, of course, you said has went up, and y'all have been able to do that. Has the census, we just went through a census, of course, that was official last year. Have the numbers grown in Overton County for population?
Yeah, the numbers went up about 300, and then they come back. And I always thought that was wrong, and they went up, you know, another 300 or 400. So we went up about 800 and something, which I'm glad it didn't go up much more than that because the state mandates a pay scale for all the elected officials off population, and we're within 100 and something people of going to the next pay scale. So I'm glad it stayed at the one we're at, and it didn't go up.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, Ben, because you're right. Some people we're not aware that the state legislature mandates a minimum pay for elected officials. There's a minimum salary for all elected officials, and it's based on population class and the range of that population. And so, like you said, if you're close, if a county's close, and you get in that next population range, then every county official is going to get a pay increase that's mandated. It's not to do with the commission. It's not to do with the elected official. It's mandated. So y'all are right there on the border.
Yeah, the next 10 years from now, I'm sure we'll go over that. Or, you know, they do the census in between. I know some counties, they've, you know, had to go back and retro the pay of the officials when they were over that. Yeah. So I'm glad that's something we hadn't had to deal with.
It's very rare you hear somebody say they're not looking for a raise. But when you get to county government, a lot of the officials are like you. We're not trying to cost our taxpayers any more money. We're good with where we're at. So appreciate that insight. One few more things about the budget. Of course, we mentioned no tax increase is the plan. When's the budget going to be passed?
The June 27th. You know, since the state wanted all the counties to start doing the budget in June, which, you know, the year starts July 1. In the past, we'd be August, late August, before we ever passed a budget. Then you got to go back and retro everything. And so it's better to start July 1 with the new budget, and because we cut off purchase orders in April so we can end the year and tell exactly, you know, how good we're doing for last year and before we start next year. And so I think, you know, everybody's for, especially, you know, it's not hard to sell a budget to the commission when there's no tax increase. You know, and most of the, like I said earlier, most of the officials, well, all the officials are not spending their whole budget. I mean, so it's, everybody's really conservative with the money. It's, you know, taxpayer money, and we've, you know, we got elected to do what we're supposed to do with the money and be, I mean, they need the services. Citizens need the services of the ambulance, fire, and everything else. But, you know, it's our job to make sure that, you know, we don't overspend and we try to stay within budget. And it's just like anything else. You got a budget at your house. You got a budget for your monthly bills. We've got that same budget at the county, and we're not looking to spend extra. We have to spend. I mean, you know, of course, the gas prices have made us spend a lot more on gas than we'd like to. But, you know, we try to stay within budget, and we do. I mean, and it shows because we're not having to raise taxes, and everything right now is going really good.
Yeah. And so let's talk a couple of big ticket items in the budget, capital projects. Any big assets y'all trying to buy this year or anything big you're trying to do?
Yeah. Well, we're looking, you know, of course, we're getting $2.1 million in, ARP funds, and, the final ruling changed. I think they changed the ruling two or three times on it, that we can put it in the general fund, use that for governmental expenses. I've been looking for a pretty good while for an industrial park property. When I got elected, I sold the industrial park to Fitzgerald's Trucking, and that's really growed, and they've spread out and put more businesses there, and that's added sales tax, and that's added property tax, but that's all the property we had. So we've been offering, you know, we've got two or three tracts of land that private citizens have, and we've been trying to show that to people, but you know, I brought up to the county commission that it would be really good if we bought another industrial park. I mean, it's easier if the county owns it to try to deal with the customer with a new company coming in than it is to get the landowner involved and everything else. So I've got a couple companies from California wanting to move to Overton County and bring their whole operation. And one of them's needing 100 acres and one of them's needing about 60 acres. And we done a property evaluation program a few years ago, which we got a grant to do that through the state, and they looked at several properties, and we've got a property that's fairly close to the industrial park in Rickman that we have, and gas is right in front of it. Water and sewer is really close. So I brought up to the commission we're going to do some testing on that property and see what I would like to do. And, you know, the best case scenario would be to purchase that and turn around and have those two companies purchase land from us to start with. Because, you know, a lot of times the county will buy an industrial park and it takes 10, 15 years to get somebody in it. And I know that's how it works. I mean, sometimes you got somebody right away and sometimes it takes a while, but these two companies are really interested. And I hope that we can work out the agreement where we can go ahead and get two companies that's going to be several hundred jobs, you know, come in to start with and be the one-time use of this ARP funds, and we won't have to put the taxpayers in debt. You know, the last industrial park was bought in 2001, and it was on a 40-year note. And about two to three years into my term, we paid it off because we were looking at trying to pay off debt for the county.
Sure.
So, I like to leave whenever I leave office better than found it. And we had a lot of 40-year debt and a lot of debts out there, and we're within 2 years of being debt-free right now. The county on our side is. Of course, we've got the nursing home that's got a couple projects they've done, and the school has some projects. But as far as the county, the bonds run out in 2 years, and a lot of the real long notes we had, we paid off. So if we could get an industrial park and get jobs for the future and not have to put that on the taxpayers' burden, that'd be a really good project. So,
yeah, being debt-free can be good or bad, but in this case, y'all paid it off early, so it's a good thing. So it's going to free up your debt capacity to do other stuff. So we got to, I think that closes, probably closes out the budget. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about some events going on locally, a few more things. We're going to talk about an exciting thing happening with a new building that y'all have achieved and accomplished, talking about paying things off. So we've got some more to talk about with Overton County Executive Ben Danner when we come back after the break in just a moment here on Local Matters. Welcome back to Local Matters. We're sitting here with Ben Danner, the Overton County Mayor, and it's always a lot of laughs with him here. And one of the reasons I have him on, he makes my day brighter, and I laugh, and I leave happy. And
we got faces for radio. I mean, Ben's more the other Ben more than mine. You know, I mean, I guess I could look worse, but probably not. I asked my mom that one time, and she said, well, I don't know. You just probably can't. But
probably can't. Oh, boy, I'm sorry. So closing out some budget talk at Overton County, of course, you said going to pass June 27th, which is before the June 30th state deadline. And, of course, they do a continuation for counties that don't. But a couple of capital asset items, going to use some ARP money to do some patrol cars, you said?
We've got in a rotation of buying new patrol cars for the Sheriff's Department, and we're going to use some of the ARP funds to – it's going to be in the budget, but we're going to use the ARP funds to pay for that.
Okay. So, I mean, and that's basically, I mean, it's one-time money, but it's relieving the taxpayer from having to pay that burden. It's, you're using the government money that you're going to get anyway. I mean, you're going to get it, so you might as well spend it, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking, you know, that's what me and Connie, the budget director, Connie York, had looked at to try to use that money as many ways as possible for things that we could use it for that we're already got in the budget, but that way we don't have to use the taxpayer money. We can use the money coming from the federal government, and that will leave the fund balance in even better shape.
Yeah, and you mentioned Connie. Connie's a saint for more than one reason. One, she puts up with you all day, every day.
She's put up with me for 8 years. That may be better than it was the 2 years before that, I'm thinking. Well, and a lot of food involved. You know, I bring a lot of food, which the bad part about that, I've lost 116 pounds since July, and it's really hard with three women in the office that's used to you bringing them food all the time.
Right.
To the office. So I still bring them food, but it, you know, it might have to be from Chick-fil-A or from a produce stand instead of, you know, some of the burgers and stuff we used to do. So.
Yeah. Well, I know they love you, but she's a saint. Does a great, all your people do a great job. Just want to give Connie a shout out. So
we're lucky to have Connie. She's, you know, we've had, before I got elected, we'd have 15 to 20 audit findings a year. And we got down, we had a perfect audit a few years ago. The audit findings went down. I mean, Connie's, you know, a stickler about it. I think she sits at home thinking of ways to try to keep the other departments in line. And she does. She keeps everybody in line. And really glad to have her there. And hope she stays there as long as she wants to and retires in about 40 to 50 years from now. And because she's done a really good job for the county. And I appreciate her because I wouldn't want to try to do the budgets without her. And I mean, she just does a really great job.
Yeah, she knows it inside and out. Some good news, the new building you're in, how long have y'all been in the new building now?
November will be 2 years.
And y'all got something coming up, right?
Yeah, we've got a really exciting, I think it is. You know, we put it, of course, we got Millard Oakley donated half of the money for the building, but we still borrowed around $3 million to build the building. And it was on a 12-year note, and we're going to have a note burner. We're going to pay it off. We've been paying extra on several things in the county, and we paid the industrial park off a few years ago in Rickman. And now we're going to pay the new county building off, and that will be, you know, $700,000 to $800,000 a year in debt service money that we don't have to spend for that. So really exciting for me because in the past, the county, when they've had to build a new building, they put it on a 40-year note, and your grandkids had to end up paying for it. And I wanted to do something that, I mean, that was a facelift for Overton County because we were in that old hospital, and it was in really bad shape, and we've got a really nice, one of the nicest county buildings in Upper Cumberland, if not the nicest now. We went from the worst to the first, maybe, I would say. But, I mean, it just, you know, everybody comes up there. It's easier to get in and out. I mean, handicap accessibility is better. Almost 100 parking spots. We had maybe 10 parking spots in the old building. And to be able to pay that off in less than 2 years is really great. And I feel good knowing that we, you know, have helped the infrastructure and cost of maintenance were tremendous in the other building. We were looking through the budget, what we used to spend on maintenance for county buildings, and it's just nothing now compared to, and the energy cost, I mean, the electric bills are nothing compared to what they were before because it's all energy efficient, and there's hot water in this building. We didn't have hot water since the 1970s in that other building, I guess, so just really, really good that we've got a building that looks like that, and we're able to pay it off, too. So,
well, and that's big news. So what day is the note burning?
I guess I'll have to see about getting a burning permit because I don't know with the July being as dry as it is. I said the only bad thing would be if I done a note burning and it blowed up into the rafters and then maybe it caught on fire. So I hope that don't happen. We're going to have the fire department on hand and make sure and put some water around, make sure we don't burn the new building. Cause I know it's a note burning, but I don't want to be in a building burning. Maybe just a note burning.
There you go.
Sometime at the 1st of July.
Though. Okay. Well, that's good news. I mean, like you said, it'd be 2 years old in November to have it paid off. And so you sold the old hospital where the offices were. What is that? Is there anything going on with that right now?
Yeah, the Livingston Enterprise moved into it. The ones that bought it redone part of it, and they're going to put offices in it and maybe apartments. So we sold that, and we were looking last night in the budget. We sold that for $306,000, and we turned around and put that back toward the new building. So when we sold things, we turned around and paid it back on debt to try to get the debt paid down. But they're looking at doing several things, and they've remodeled it and really done. It looks good, and like I said, the Enterprise already opened up there, and the end that Caraboon had the assessor's office there on that end. So I think they're looking at several other things in that building. So I'm glad that, you know, we got the new building and we got everything with it, but I'm glad that somebody bought the other building and going to use it for something too.
So it's mixed use, businesses and residential space.
I think that's what they're looking at.
That's pretty good for Livingston. I think that's, and of course, I don't know how many mixed use spaces y'all have around the square, but the square is y'all in the city have really done well with the square around the courthouse. It's every time I'm up there, it's crowded. People are shopping, people are buying, they're eating. So y'all just made it a different place since I started going up there 16 years ago. So
yeah, the city's really done a good job. You know, when they first started that, people lived out in the county. I remember when I was on the commission, people were talking about, well, you know, the stuff of the squares is things of the past, but it's not. No. I mean, the square, we got one of the best looking squares there is, and you know, we got a grant to redo the grounds, and I don't know, I think the city's going to start that late this year and completely. The courthouse itself looks pretty good, but around the courthouse they've got this old concrete cobblestone that was done in the 70s, and it's coming apart, and you can't really pressure wash it because it blows it apart. So they're going to completely do everything except the actual foundation of the courthouse. So it'll be really nice. It'll be jam-packed, I guess, for a little while when they tear everything out and move, and the eternal flame for the veterans, it's going to turn sideways and going to move the cannon and put some different flagpoles, but it's really going to look good then when they get that. Of course, the Central Park and, you know, the restaurants we've got, 1806 and the Steel Coop right there on each side of the square really helps too.
Yeah.
And the city's looking at trying to get a grant for a dog park to put down by the Central Park, so if they do that, that'll be a big draw too. So a lot of things going, and it brings out, you know, quite a few people.
Well, speaking of things going, any events coming up in Overton County?
Of course, we got the Kentucky Headhunters going to be there this Saturday, 6 o'clock. That'll be a pretty big concert. I know the contrary to what people think, I know the one guy on the Headhunters that's bald, that had the longer hair, that's not me. So, so if anybody, you know, cause I was at a cattle sale one time and, Red Boiling or Moss one, I seen some of them from the Headhunters. I like Headhunters. They're really good, but I just want to tell everybody, he's a little skinnier than me. I have lost some weight, but, so if you think that's me up there singing, and, you know, it's not, but that'll be, I think it'll be a really big draw, and they got Confederate Railroad coming later. Next month, so that'll be a big thing. There'll be several thousand people come. Now, if they thought it's me, they probably wouldn't be, but it's not. So I just want to tell everybody, so you could come out. It's not me up here singing.
What about any other thing, anything else coming up that you hadn't had in a while? Maybe it's something that'll draw people in.
Yeah, July 15th and 16th, which is when early voting starts, the weekend early voting starts, so that'll be a crazy weekend, I guess, but we're having Pioneer Days again. Gene Gant, that owns 1806, is got everything together to start that and working with the chamber and the county and the city. So Pioneer Days, you know, when I was a kid, in the 80s, and it was really big, and they were several thousand people come up there, and they had, you know, they had events, they had arrowhead deals, and they had just all kind of stuff about the Pioneer Days, but they had music and they had clogging, and that's not going to be me up there clogging either. If anybody, you know, is wondering about that, I'm not going to do any clogging. But they're going to have bluegrass music, and, you know, I think it'll be a big draw. It's something that's been missed. Things kind of changed, and the ones that were run that quit 20 years ago probably, so they quit having the Pioneer Days. But, you know, the Halloween we have on the Square in October is a huge draw and brings out a lot of people. I think Pioneer Days will probably bring out more. They're going to have a stage up on West Broad, and they're going to have, of course, the whole Square blocked off, and they'll have bluegrass music up there. And then they're going to have country music down in the park. And I don't know if they're going to have any other kinds of music on side streets or not, but they may have. Who knows? But
do I have to get a permit to come up there and do my own concert?
Yeah, you probably. Yeah, oh, well, you can, you know, be like street vendors. You know, in Nashville, the ones that singing. You know, I tried that one time, and I had to pay them $4 to leave, so I didn't make any money on it. So, but I think there'll be several thousand people come out to that, and that'll be a really big draw, especially the, you know, the older people that remembers what Pioneer Days used to be. And, you know, they used to sell belt buckles. I've got a whole collection of them. My dad would always get a belt buckle every year, and you get the same number, and I've got a whole set of those. And they had, I remember, you know, of course they made crafts, and they had these wooden rubber band guns. I don't know if you had one of them as a kid. I've got mine painted up all Western, and sometimes I still use it. If my kids get bad, I have to shoot at it. No, I don't. I'm just kidding out there. I don't shoot at my kids with a gun of any kind, especially a rubber band gun. But it was fun when I was a kid, you know, to have shootouts with the rubber band gun. And so if anybody remembers the last Pioneer Days, that may have been me running around with that rifle shooting at people. I'm sorry if I hit you. That was before I, you know, wanted your vote.
No, don't hold it against him. So, Ben, thanks for being here. Appreciate what you do. Appreciate our friendship. I am proud of what you've accomplished in your, and as a commissioner too. You used to call me when you were a commissioner, and I thought you'd have some crazy questions for me at the time, but really they were good questions, and you were forward thinking, and you've taken it into your two terms. So I appreciate you, and appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you. And you know, you haven't blocked me on your cell phone yet. So
not yet.
And I appreciate you not wearing a kilt today too, man. You know, so we was talking about that earlier, and, you know, I'm glad the radio listeners can't see us because, you know, just think of a Ben in a kilt. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, something different. But thank you. Appreciate everything you do for Overton County because you've helped us quite a bit.
I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. Folks, hope you have a great weekend. Hope you enjoyed the show. I will ask for your prayers for people like Ben and I that are in public service. We need all the help we can get.
Especially the other Ben. Not as, well, I do too, but, you know.
But especially in budget season. So hope you have a great weekend. Remember to smile at one another and don't frown. This is Ben Rogers with Overton County Executive Ben Danner on Local Matters. We'll see you next week.